You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. Making your lousy commute fun.
Give me the Kimbrel stuff with the Josh Towers technique.
It's a beautiful technique. However, the ball goes a long way.
Yes. Yeah. Towers, I contend, the worst pitcher in Blue Jay history.
Really?
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, you got to go find this guy's numbers. You might as well put a batting machine out there.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
We should be playing Tragically Hip a lot today. The one-year anniversary of the passing of Gord Downie. It's crazy. It's been a year already.
That goes quick.
And I think most Canadians, certainly fans of the Hip, remember that vividly, the build-up to it, and everyone knew he was sick, ill. And it was just a matter of time. But that said, when the news was broken, it was still shocking to an extent.
Yeah.
And sad for sure, and I still cherish the fact that I got down to the ACC to watch them on that last Canadian tour. That was great.
Yeah, I flew to Calgary to watch it.
You saw them in London, didn't you?
London and Toronto, and I loved every second of it.
Yeah, they were great shows. It was really cool.
And man, what a thing to watch the documentary.
Well, the movie? So sad.
Yeah, like he had to relearn all of the songs. Like he did.
Yeah.
It was crazy, man. What a sad time.
Yeah.
And what an unbelievable time to see them. I got to see them twice. London and Toronto. Like, amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I watched that
really
movie on the plane. I think I was flying out west or something. And I was kind of emotional. I was kind of, like, I'm tearing up at a couple parts in the movie. And when you're not by yourself or you're not in a dark theater,
I don't care, man.
Get emotional.
I'll let it fly anywhere.
I was a little bit rattled.
You'll cry anywhere? It doesn't matter. I don't care.
Yeah, and in something like that, I don't think people would be like disappointed or making fun of me, but I'm on a flight. Nobody knows what I'm watching.
Well, that's the point, right?
Look,
it's about self-awareness.
This guy's crying in his seat. Like, you know, it could cause some people to get suspicious. Well, why is this guy crying?
Let's be honest. On a plane,
yeah,
you have your radar up more than anywhere else on Earth when you're on a plane. Like, everybody. Your surveillance is at top notch when you're on a plane.
Your number one thing is do not act indifferent around me.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do
it. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Don't do anything that's going to make me think, what the hell is going on with that person?
Yeah.
Like, why are they getting emotional on this plane?
Well, that's why I'm sitting there crying in the corner.
I would have had you kicked off the plane.
In midair.
Like, go talk to that person.
44,000 feet.
Yeah. All right, so Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Ray's coming up here in a moment. We're teeing up the Raptors season. That kicks off tonight. Raptors, Cavaliers down at Scotiabank. So we'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. Leafs are off today. They did not practice. But Kyle Dubas is not in the country. The big news pertaining to the Maple Leafs today, courtesy of Lance Hornby of The Sun. Kyle Dubas flew over to Switzerland, which means William Nylander flew to Switzerland as well because he's from Stockholm and he's been training in Stockholm. And everyone's got a different opinion on whether or not this is a good thing, a bad thing. I don't think it can possibly be a bad thing. I think Dubas, you get face-to-face, hopefully something comes out of it that's positive. Right. I think Dubas, at the very least, what he's trying to prove to William Nylander and company is that he really values the player, you know, and he really values what he represents. And Dubas is not going to fly all the way to Switzerland to waste time.
Yeah, but don't give me that garbage, Brian. If you value the player, you value the product, you value this, he would have flew over there in August.
But it's a game.
This is a last-ditch effort, in my personal opinion.
I hear you, but you know how negotiations work, man. Yeah. It doesn't add up the way you think it does.
And plus, there's pressure points. They're approaching. It's still a long ways away. I think this could turn on a dime. The deal could get done. You get the framework worked out. It's they signed Tavares in what, by all accounts, an 8-hour window when it all started. Now, I'm sure it was a long process to get up to that point, but both sides know where they're at. I think sometimes you just need a reset where it's been the agent talking to Kyle or, you know, that type of stuff. Get in the same room. Let's see where we're at again here.
That's what feels different about this. That's what is different. Like Nylander and Dubas are both going to be sitting face to face.
Right.
Dubas has been in Toronto. Nylander's been in Sweden. By all accounts, it's been Nylander's agent speaking with Dubas.
Right.
I'm sure the agent would be present or would have some sort of a presence.
For sure.
But still, you know, it's a chance for Dubas to sell Nylander on something or try to relieve him of some sort of stress or anxiety about the deal and his standing within the organization. And
for sure.
So we'll see what comes out of it. I mean, I'm not holding my breath for a contract to be signed over the next 24 hours. I think if it goes more than 3 or 4 days without something leaking out about how everything transpired, then maybe the attitude changes a little bit.
You're not expecting an 8-year, $1 million a year deal?
With a duffel bag full of cash,
exactly.
Full of euros.
With a Swiss account just attached to it.
The old Lou Lamoriello side shuffle. Here, take this key.
I'm telling you, there are stories like that in all of pro sports. Not just... I know it happens in junior hockey. I've heard stories about it. And I know at the college level in hockey, you've heard some stories where, you know, you don't get a full ride on paper, but you get a full ride because you'll work at the rink, wink, wink. You can be the Zamboni driver.
Pick up a mop and here's $30,000.
Yeah, so that, you know, it happens. That's circumventing technically, but this one would be a spicy meatball.
Oh, this would be a really spicy meatball. It's not going to happen.
He's not
bringing duffel bags of cash over there.
I'm not suggesting it would. But
we're just having fun with it, but it would be hysterical to witness that type of a transaction.
Yeah,
you know, just to see Dubas, Nylander, wink, wink, go over to locker 21C. And you will see a duffel bag full of cash.
I it's the get shorty. Here's the key.
Right, exactly.
Open at the train station or at the airport.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ray's coming up here in just a moment. We'll get his take on the Nylander stuff. I think we were all watching that clinic McDavid put on in the third period in Winnipeg last night. And if you missed it, Winnipeg was up 4-1. And I was thinking, here we go.
Well, you and I were texting and...
It was men
versus boys.
Oh, it wasn't even close. Like, I didn't see the whole game. I saw the third.
Yeah,
I watched overtime.
I watched the whole game.
And I did not watch the whole game.
Even after that, I still don't think that team's going to make the playoffs.
Edmonton?
Yeah. I don't.
I think they're a playoff team.
So that one guy is going to take them to the playoffs.
Yeah,
as good as he is.
Talbot was really good.
And after he gave up four.
Yeah, well, they're playing an elite team. Let's not forget, Winnipeg is an elite team. I think the Oilers... will battle, but they'll battle for that eighth spot. They're not, like, that's playoffs, right? Like, it's not top. I don't think they're an elite team, but I think they can push for that playoff spot, just like Montreal in the East.
Yeah, you've been bullish on Montreal. I don't share that opinion. I don't share it with Edmonton because, again, last night, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to react to that, where McDavid was a wizard. Like in this stat that this record that he has shattered, where he was in on the first 9 goals of the season.
Yeah.
I think, again, amplifies the greatness and also the shortcomings, where it's the greatness of McDavid, which goes without saying, but the shortcomings of the team where you got to rely on one guy.
We just talked about their schedule. It's murderer's row.
Well,
right now.
And them being 2-2 going home with all of the... I mean, they were brutal when they were in Europe. They got crushed in Boston. But 2-2, you'll take it every day of the week if you're
all day long.
And taking a look at it, Boston plays tonight. So they're going to get Boston tired on a back-to-back, and they're going to get Nashville tired on a back-to-back, too.
And this is so the time to play Pittsburgh, too. Pittsburgh is not crushing teams. They lost again last night at home.
Yeah.
But let's hear from McDavid postgame, where he was asked about the record, where he was in on the first 9 goals that the Oilers scored to begin the season. That has never happened before. It's really an astonishing stat. He was asked about that, and here's what McDavid said.
You know what? It's whatever. I'm not overly proud of it. I don't think it's a stat we should be proud of either. It is what it is. But we found a way to get a goal there at the end, so we don't have to ever talk about it again.
I think he was embarrassed of it.
I love that comment. I got to be honest. That is what I love about team sports. That's what I love about leadership. That was his way of telling the rest of his teammates, smarten up.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Let's go. Like, you know, this is embarrassing for me that I got to be in on all this. He's going to play 22, 23 minutes a night, but that means 37 to 38 minutes of the game. He's not on the ice.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do something when he's not on the ice.
Well, Draisaitl was really good last night. Lucic was really good. Like they got going. Like it's just the group was not very good in their own zone. They got exposed. They got a young defenseman there that I think is going to have to.
You're talking about Bouchard?
Yeah, he's going to have to get some experience somewhere else. Garrison looked his age last night, so that's that third pairing that got rinsed. But again, you're looking at Winnipeg. Like Winnipeg just stopped playing. Winnipeg is legit.
They're a very good team, but they've been smacked a couple of times this year. Like yeah. Dallas beat them 5-1, and
yeah, that one
last night you blow a 4-1 lead at home against Edmonton. That is not going to go over well with Paul Maurice.
No, Omo will be worked up about that one.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What did you make of McDavid's comments postgame when he was asked about that new record where he was in on the first 9 goals of the season for Edmonton? I personally loved it. I think he just was sending a message to his teammates, like, guys, let's wake up. Let's get going here.
It's amazing what he did. But if, you know, like seriously, like amazing, be involved in all of that all of the time. But it's embarrassing, would it not be, for the rest of the guys?
Yeah.
Like, hey, fellas, like the rest of us here are kind of wandering around in a daze. Let's chop chop on this thing. Like I saw like last night, and I've seen it with some of the other younger guys too. Like there's just another element to them that is coming out. It's their, I don't know, it's their maturity, it's their leadership, it's their demand of the other players. Like when McDavid scored at the in the third period there, like, not that it's a big surprise he was fired up, but I mean, like, he was fired up. Like, it was different than I remember. And yeah. I've seen it with Matthews a little bit. It's like, these guys that are so good, they're like, okay, you guys, like, let's go. Like, it's their team. And it's incredible when I think of their age that it is their team. Like, it is McDavid's team. I mean, it's not even, you know, I mean, you couldn't even begin to build a question around that. It's McDavid's team. And he's basically saying, to your point, Brian, like, come on, you guys. Let's wake the hell up. The season's already started.
Ray, what do you make of this so-called meeting in Switzerland with Kyle Dubas? I told Brian and Jamie earlier, I think this is kind of, I know December 1st is the deadline, but this is kind of the last-ditch effort, isn't it? When you look face-to-face and say, this is what we got, do you want to make it happen? And if it doesn't happen, I'm pretty sure you're flying home thinking, we got to get to plan B.
Well, I don't quite think that finality, old, but what I do think is like, you know, it's always, you know, Dubas talking to his agents or his dad, you know, who's part of the agency group. But this is, you're talking to him. Like, you can look in his eyes, you can see exactly what, you know, how much conviction there really is for this. Because at some point, you know, yes, you can go to the KHL or play somewhere else, but that would suck. You want to play in the NHL. So you could gauge the conviction of Nylander to push this. Like, do you read that, okay, he's about done, or do you read to your what you thought, uh-oh, this is a long way, and we do have to move on to plan B, whatever that might be. And plan B might be like, you know, they might tell him when they leave there, look, we're not trading you, so you can sit there if you want. But then don't forget, in the summer, you still got to sit there because you're in the same boat. Nothing changes. Eventually, if you're playing in the NHL, you're playing for us, unless we decide to trade you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that gets lost on a lot of people in terms of this conversation. This idea that as of November 30th, he's got to be traded. You know, oh, he said he wouldn't take your deal. No, he doesn't. Like, they could say, go ahead, William, take the whole year off. Sorry, like, you know, we're not budging.
Yeah,
we're not moving. And I, quite frankly, I think they would have to, unless there is a deal that presents itself that is lights out.
Right.
But that would be the case anyway.
Like, if you're Brian, if you're a GM, and it gets to November 20th, you know, so you would like William Nylander on your team. I'm assuming most teams would.
Yeah.
You call up Kyle Dubas and offer him scraps. Like, why would you make him a great offer? Like, you would you not start there and go, yeah, I'm interested in Nylander, and I know you need a defenseman, and here's a guy that's, well, he's okay, but, like, why would you start at great offers? I don't think they're going to all of a sudden, because it gets nearer the end of November, start getting these fabulous offers that makes Dubas say, and the Leafs say, oh, yeah, we got, this is such a great offer, we got to do it. I don't see it. Like, why would, the Leafs are the ones that are going to be stuck here. Nylander's the one that's going to be stuck here. It's not a good spot for either of them, really.
No, it's not. I mean, in your heart of hearts, though, I'm sitting back here, it's October 17th. Like, somewhere in my mind, I'm like, this deal gets done. Like, I don't think the ocean is...
It just seems dumb not to.
That's what I'm... Yeah, like, I mean, William, he's going to get paid throughout his career. Like, he's going to make a boatload of money. But I just don't know if, I mean, if they're $2 million apart, let's just say, again, it's all speculative, but say they're $2 million apart on a 7-year deal. That's $14 million. That's a lot of money. So he's hemorrhaging a little bit of money on the front end of this to get somewhere where he wants. To me, cooler heads or guys who are creative can figure out what, how you're going to bridge that money and what you're going to do. So I still can't believe, I can believe it's gotten to this point, but nowhere in my mind do I believe it's going to get past December 1st and he's going to sit out. I just can't believe that. For me, that's a 0% chance.
Yeah, I think...
Go ahead, Ray. The part is nothing changes. Like, it, you know, if there was a way, like, if the system said that, oh, if you get by November or November 30th, that, you know, it tolls a year on your free agency and you'd be, you know, next summer you'd become an unrestricted free, well, then I could say, okay, well, maybe he's going to go and say to hell with it, and I'll just go to Russia and play out the year and be an unrestricted. But he's not, and it's not going to happen.
Right.
Like, nothing changes. So I just don't see where he can push this. Like, you can push it. Eventually you can say, yeah, trade me, and I'm not coming back to play for you. I mean, that's entirely his prerogative. But that seems like a pretty crappy way to go, too, because, again, the Leafs hold all the cards.
Yeah, exactly.
You only have so many years to play.
Well, and if he's wondering how that plays out, call up Jonathan Drouin, who demanded out and wouldn't report. And Yzerman
said, I'll come back.
Yeah, and guess when they decided to trade him? When Sergachev was on the table.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here. Like, the Leafs may reach a point where they're like, okay, we'll trade you, but we need the equivalent of your services. Not at that position necessarily, but we're not just going to trade you for a couple of second round picks because you want out. It was never going to work.
They
got to
do what's best for the organization.
Absolutely. And you know, you knew this was coming. Teams are going to start to get linked, and Pierre LeBrun on Insider Trading last night was saying that if it got to a point where Nylander was available, Carolina would be a team that would show a lot of interest. And he mentioned Brett Pesce, who's locked in on term, and he's a good defenseman, but like, does that move the radar for you, Ray? Would that even be? It would.
Yes.
Yeah, I like him too.
Like, a couple of years ago, well, a year ago, when we were talking about, you know, only the 2000th time we said, oh, the Leafs got to make a move for a D. And, you know, it was linking a forward to Anaheim because they had all kinds of injury problems, which, of course, they have again this year. The guy I mentioned, and it seemed to be like, you know, people were like, what are you crazy, was Josh Manson. Like,
yeah.
Josh Manson is really good,
yeah.
And he's tough, and he's mean. And while he might not be a guy that moves the needle a lot, neither is Brett Pesce, but Pesce can play. He can skate, he's got good size, can move the puck.
Yeah,
he's a good player. Like, I would think it's more likely, if they decide to get to a point to move William Nylander, I think it's more been a little bit possible that the return initially will seem underwhelming. It's not like you're not getting a big name defenseman because the team's not going to trade you that. You may end up with a guy that's in a market that we don't watch a lot, that we don't see a lot. You go, well, I don't even really know if that's a good deal. And that's what your pro scouts are doing right now, because it's almost certain that, you know, O mentioned earlier plan B. Well, they got to be looking at plan B, plan C, whatever. And the pro scouts are starting to identify players that in places that they might think about.
Well, you're right, Ray, and it may seem underwhelming, but then you have to be careful because you're always going to be comparing the player, the player's production. So, I mean, I'll bring it back, and this is a one that's over the top, but the Larson for Hall deal, right? Because Edmonton wanted a D, and they wanted somebody who could play on a top pairing and be stable. Taylor Hall goes and wins the Hart. I don't think William Nylander is going to go anywhere and win the Hart, but he's a very good player. So if he goes and scores 27 goals and has 65, 70 points, and you get a guy like, let's just say, and I'm not saying Pesci, I like Pesci as a player, and I think he's a really good player, but you, in people's minds, you're going to be like, we just traded away 70 points for 30.
Well, the Hall for Larson deal changed the complexion of everything in the league.
But you're
like,
right.
It just did.
But I'm just saying, you have to be careful if you're Kyle Dubas for the perception of that trade, too, because a skilled forward for a skilled defenseman, people just compare points a lot of times. Now, that's the court of public opinion. It's not the people in the hockey world. But a lot of times there's a lot of yelling and screaming about stuff like that.
Well, I would look at my defense and watch how, even though we win all the time, our defense doesn't seem to be able to stop anybody. And I'd be more worried about that than anything else.
I agree.
And so it may become an unpopular move if they can't get this done. But going there, I mean, there's so much of this that's kind of funny. Is, you know, they're in the airport and the guy, you know, apparently his name's paged. And because the world is like it is, you know, it's all over the internet. Hey, Nylander's name was just paged at the airport. Like, everybody kind of knows something was going on. And then there, you know, you got to fly all the way over there for a meeting, a neutral site meeting, because nobody meets in Peoria, Illinois. They meet in Switzerland. Why wouldn't you, right? So Dubas has got to fly all the way over there to have lunch. It just strikes me as kind of funny. Like, is this the only way to do it? Maybe it is. And maybe there'll be stuff that comes to fruition. And maybe they'll really start to lay the groundwork to a deal. Because right now it seems like the tires are spinning.
Yeah. I don't think a deal happens.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen.
You do or do not?
I do not think anything's going to come of this. It's like they have a number, they have an idea. I think the dad is heavily involved in... I'm saying
okay,
no.
But at some point, wouldn't you just say, hey, Dad, you made $25 million or $30 million or whatever. Like, you know, be my dad. I don't need another agent.
No, Dad, like, get out of the room.
Yeah.
I got an agent.
Maybe more direct.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, that's easy for us to say, but who knows? I mean, who knows what Nylander has been saying throughout this whole process? Who knows if he's been the one that's been driving the bus? Maybe he has been.
Right.
Who's to say that his agent and his dad haven't been like, Willie, I'm telling you, this is all you're getting. And he's like, I don't care. I'm not taking that because I know what Mitch is getting and I know what Austin's getting and I'm not doing it.
Then you're not playing here or you're sitting and waiting.
Yeah, and that's what I think Dubas is hoping to find out when he heads over there. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's an extreme maneuver. It's a trip to Switzerland. I mean, you could have pulled a Mac T and downloaded Skype, I would think.
But could you imagine?
No, that's just for piping people.
Yeah, true. Only if you're firing a head coach in the league, you download Skype. But not that it matters now, but do you think Lou would have done this? Do you think Lou Lamoriello would fly to Switzerland to meet a player?
No way. Not,
Lou would have the private meeting in his office.
Yes.
Come into the meeting or else there is no meeting. Here's the offer. Like, I don't know. I understand why Dubas feels he has to do this, and I get it, because I think it's a lot to say about you look at his eyes and just maybe you can see if there's any conviction there, see if there's any middle ground or quasi-middle ground to see if you can bump the ball down the road. Because as long as they sit apart, I mean, how much can they talk? Hey, have you guys changed your mind? No. How about you guys? No. Okay, talk to you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all that can be going on right now.
Yeah. Do you think, we were joking around with this, and it's not going to have it, but do you think, like, if something comes out of it that's fishy, would you think that maybe, you know, a backdoor deal with some cash in a suitcase in Switzerland? Like,
The old Swiss bank account.
Swiss bank account. Like, we were joking that, and you can't do that in today's world, but, you know, we were laughing that maybe Dubas rolls in with a giant hockey bag just full of cash and, hey, sign a 7-year extension at $3 million a year, but don't worry, this account will be full when I leave.
Well, eventually those, the thing always turns over. Like, remember, I think it was a couple years ago and somebody finally got into all the banks in Iceland and all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait a minute. Yes, the president does own this company. And
yeah,
it was a catastrophic deal. Like, could you imagine a bunch of hockey people trying to pull this off?
Oh.
Eventually, some dope is going to have too many beers and go, oh, I don't know, when I delivered that suitcase full of cash.
It's so true.
It would be so. Yeah.
Someone would say something so dumb on the record and not realize that it's on the record.
Just crushed at the World Junior.
Crushed at the draft in the hotel lobby bar.
At the media event.
Yeah, and then I got to fly to Switzerland in October. It was fantastic. What were you doing there? Oh, I had to drop this briefcase off at a hotel.
Yeah. Duffel bag full of cash.
Heavy. Oh, it was heavy, too.
So funny.
It's so true. It's so true. The levy would break within like 6 months. It would be revealed, and it would never happen ever again.
Ever again.
All right, Ray. Well, you're in town, what, tomorrow, I guess, for the Pens Leaf game?
Yep. I'm in on the red eye tonight and just finished playing golf and come in, do the game, and zip back out. It's light schedule early on here.
I guess.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, the problem is when it's light early, you know what it's coming down the pike.
Yeah.
Not very good.
World Juniors right around the corner. Although in your backyard, so that's a good sign.
This is the first time ever, so I'm actually pretty excited about it. I think my family is, but I'm not sure. You never know.
Yeah, you'll find out on Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. See if I come up with the goods or not.
All right, buddy. We'll do it tomorrow.
Have a good day, boys.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Find great deals on the Toyota RAV4 during Maple Toyota's 2018 clear out. Finance and lease rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com. Jerry's percentages next.
Jerry's percentages.
In the builders category for the 2018 class, Jerry.
That's right, you pigeons. Jerry's going to be enshrined in the hall. Forever and ever.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
And Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from 2 people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 The Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. Jerry, I believe he's in a good mood.
Oh, yeah.
My understanding is he's got an opening song. Is it song or statement this week? Should we just play it and see what comes out?
Let's see what Jerry's got.
I was going to work on the new CBA till I got high. I was going to take the PA to the cleaners till I got high. But now I can't shut down the league, and I know why. 'Cause Jerry got high, Jerry got high, Jerry got high. I was gonna troll Quebec City before I got high. I was gonna force the Leafs to trade Matthews before I got high. Now the 7 Canadian teams are staying put, and I know why. 'Cause Jerry got high, Jerry got high, Jerry got high. Alright, enough of that silly crap, Jerry's no hippie. Truth is, I'm gonna use this cannabis crap as a way to relocate all 7 Canadian teams to the United States. So smoke up, you beatnik losers.
All right.
I like the beatnik term.
Yeah, beatnik. Jerry likes that term.
Yeah.
So, interesting track from Jerry. I like
that
it.
That was awesome.
That sounded great. Good for you, Jerry. I was
Jerry
of the impression.
High.
I thought he was smoking weed, and apparently he's not. That was just a front. He's going to use the cannabis legislation to rip the 7 Canadian teams out of our country. That would be a shame. All right, you guys ready for some hot takes?
Let's do it.
Let's hear it.
Speaking of beatniks, at least one idiot will get fired for smoking weed at work today.
100%.
I 100%.
Someone in this country is getting fired today because they think they can smoke weed at work.
Like Dart Break, just blowing an absolute cannon right out front of their office. And it's like, no, you can't do that.
It's like, dude, you're a Purolator driver. You're fired. Like, you can't do that. I'm sorry, but you're not allowed to do that. I don't think people understand that you're not, you can't just smoke weed and show up at work because it's legal now.
So 100%.
Someone's getting fired.
All of us are 100%. We're going to hear a story about it tomorrow.
Yeah, like a teacher showed up so stoned.
Yeah.
And the explanation was, well, it's legal now.
Yeah.
I understand that, but you're teaching grade two.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you doing?
But in saying that, there's probably people that, we all know somebody that needs to smoke a joint to do that anyway.
They've been doing it
anyway. There's a grade two teacher that probably smokes weed to just say, I got to get normal here to go into work.
Yeah. You're probably right.
I agree, but it's just some dope.
Somebody got fired
and figuratively is going to get fired for that.
So we're all at 100%.
Yes.
The Edmonton Oilers look like a bad Disney movie where the phenom has to play with a bunch of plugs. And that won't stop anytime soon because Connor McDavid will score at least 40 more points than anyone else on the Oilers this season. One of those son of a b**** has got to start doing something.
That's an interesting take.
40 more points?
40 more points than whoever comes in second. I believe he had 38 more than anybody else a year ago.
80%. What did Taylor Hall have last
year? I was just thinking that Hall, I believe, had
92. He had 42 more points than Heischer at 50. But Draisaitl is.
Draisaitl's going to get a 70. I don't think Draisaitl is going to score 90 points.
But I don't see Hall. I don't see McDavid getting 120. That's the difference. I'm low on this, just because McDavid could get 110, but that's, you got to give 40 to that. That's too rich for me. 30 would have been.
What's your number then? 30, I think, is a lot.
25%.
Unless he gets injured. I think, like, look at McDavid. He had points on the first 9 goals.
Well, Draisaitl's got 5 points in 4 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he's got almost twice as many as Draisaitl.
I'm 80%.
I'm 25%.
40 points is a lot of points.
That's what I mean. That's a lot of points.
But it's not even about Draisaitl and company. It's about McDavid. Like, that, he's playing a video game right now. He's playing a video game. He's like, that was ridiculous in the third last
night. He is ridiculous. Period. He's a great player.
40%.
40 for 40.
40 for 40.
Nice one.
Kawhi Leonard will finish top 5 in MVP voting this season. And hopefully he laughs his ass off right out of this stupid country.
That was uncalled for. The laugh and the gutless shot at Canada. Why does Jerry hate Canada so much?
I don't know. Why
he does. He'd rather go to Houston.
And he wants Kawhi to leave the Raptors? That's not even...
Can we hear that again? Like, just play the whole Jerry's percentage again.
Kawhi Leonard will finish top 5 in MVP voting this season. And hopefully he laughs his ass off right out of this stupid country.
Sounded more like a Jonas laugh than a Kawhi laugh.
Stupid.
It was.
Kawhi top 5 in MVP voting.
15%.
I'm real high on this.
Are you?
Real high. I think if he's healthy and he puts up any type of performance like he used to when he was in San Antonio and the Raps win 60 games and win the East, oh, he's going to get a million votes because people are talking about him. He is different than the Raptors have been for 20 years, where DeMar would put up numbers, Kyle would put up numbers, but it was like, it's the Raptors, we're not paying attention. Having Kawhi on the team changes the way people, I think, approach the Raptors, where they will actually get some Vine this year. He'll be on SportsCenter. He'll be on The Jump.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be writing about him online in the States. People will be focused on him. And because of that focus, if he follows through and plays the way I believe he can, top 5, yes, I think he can do that. I'm high on this. I'll say 70%.
70%. I'm just playing the field. Well, you guys, you got five other field. I'm going to say 38%. Okay, it's a, you've sold me. I was going to be lower. Sold me higher, but I'm still looking at the.
There's a lot of great players.
I was just
going
to say, like, Boston's going to be a serious team. Like, there's some teams that.
Top five in MVP voting?
Yes. Well, you know, LeBron, if he does what he. If the Lakers make it to the playoffs, LeBron will probably win the MVP.
Here's why you're not going to get this right. You go to LeBron,
Durant, okay.
You go to
Westbrook.
Possibly three to four players in
Harden.
Golden State.
Harden's going to get love.
Okay.
Yeah. Who else?
Then go to Houston. Then maybe go to Boston. Then maybe go to Philly. Then
yeah, but Kawhi's better than anybody on those teams. Like, as much as I love Boston, Kawhi's the best player on the Celtics every day of the week. Ben Simmons, I mean, that kid's a stud in Philly. Giannis is going to get love in Milwaukee if they put up numbers. But I'm telling you, man,
we
Kawhi
haven't even scratched the surface of the different players around the league.
Yeah, but Kawhi's a part of that group.
Yeah,
though. That's my point. This isn't DeMar
and Kyle.
This is Kawhi. It's a different story.
Kasperi Kapanen will score at least 45 points this season.
This son of a bitch has an opportunity of a lifetime.
45 points for Wayne Kapanen.
It's a good number.
45 is a good number.
I think it's still a bit rich because if Billy signs soon and
I'm
going to
say 75%.
He's already got, what does he have? Eight points in the last four games he's played with Matthews.
Yeah.
I'm saying 75 because I don't think the other guy's coming back.
Okay. You have no faith in Nylander playing for the Leafs.
No, I don't.
I do.
Because he has it set in his mind that what he wants, and it's like you're not getting it, so when are you going to change your opinion? And then you're going to say to yourself, oh, just like the lockout, oh, we're not taking a salary cap. Let's miss a year. Next year, yeah, we got to take a salary. Okay, yeah.
Exactly. He should learn from that. And nothing's going to change a year from now.
No.
The only other thing I could see is if Nylander signs and Babs
needles
says,
him a bit.
You know what? You're going to start down where Kapanen signed type of thing.
Well, he needs 37 points
or
to hit.
Kapanen played. Yeah. Third.
37 is not. I think that's reasonable. I think
reasonable,
he gets to 45.
But I'm going to say 45%. 45 for 45.
All right. I'll go a bit higher than that. I'm going to say 60%. 60% Kapanen hits 45 points.
John Gruden will be the head coach of the failing Oakland Raiders for at least the next five seasons.
Him and that son of a owner need a haircut. The Lloyd Christmas isn't working. And you traded your best defensive player, you
Five years. This is a five-year Jerry.
He got it, but the thing is, he got a ten-year $100 million contract.
15%. Nobody lasts that long. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the term.
But aren't they going to Vegas early?
Who cares?
They
just
are. He is being ridiculed. Like I
he's
actually haven't
dummied already.
Yeah, and he deserves all of it. Like they traded Khalil Mack, and then he complains about not having a pass rush. They gave up a high pick for Martavis Bryant. Bust. They trade for AJ McCarron. Bust. Like, and they're giving up capital. They're giving up picks. It just doesn't make any sense. They're 1-5. They're brutal.
Well,
but he's going to get
his own colleagues were kind of careful at the beginning. Let's just see how now they're just like
he is a pinata right now.
He is getting dummied by his former colleagues.
Now trading for AJ McCarron. That's
the old Musburger. Brent Musburger.
Musburger could have been behind.
Maybe
that
he called up
one.
Brent and he said, "Hey, what do you make of this?"
What did Musburger say again?
Well, he was pumping the tires of McCarron's girlfriend.
Doesn't he? Yeah, but
yeah, who's
what a beautiful woman! Wow,
he's AJ's doing.
Whoa,
he does the whoa.
Just a creepy old man up in the booth.
I think if he did that today, he'd get fired.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, he might. There'd be a push online for sure.
He didn't even say like a change in whatever. But if he did that today, he'd get fired.
He didn't say anything outrageous, though.
I don't care. He gets fired.
It's a very sensitive time. But he doubled down on Twitter not that long ago.
Well, he just said, "Listen, she's a beautiful woman," and I just said she was a beautiful woman. Yeah. Now the whole, you know, the Ric Flair.
The point
was
is,
probably,
you basically can't say that anymore.
Yeah. Well, maybe the Ric Flair woo push the limits a little bit.
I thought that was...
That may have been unnecessary.
Yeah, it's a little unnecessary.
That was the Mike Matheson body slam. The hit? Yeah. I'll give you the hit. The Ric Flair afterwards, that pushing,
where are we at?
Pushing the limits.
5 years?
5 years.
35%.
I'm high on this because the owner, I don't know what his story is to begin with. He's paying Gruden this money anyway. Although, remember when Gruden was acting a hero in the preseason and he said, if it doesn't work, I'll give the money back? That's fake news. That's a blatant lie. I think he's pot committed with Gruden. I think Gruden now is selling him on the idea that this is in their best interest, get a high pick, blow out some players, then you got to give us 2 or 3 years to build it up. I think 80%.
80%. I'm 15. Nobody lasts that long. Everybody gets sick of somebody.
Well, Belichick's been in New England for a long time. Mike McCarthy's been in Green Bay. Yeah, that is the difference. Rod Black will join us ahead of the Raptors home opener. Rod Black coming up around 6:20. We'll get back into the Swiss meeting between Dubas and Nylander and whoever else might be over there. Back into the McDavid comments from the postgame last night. MLB playoffs continuing. Overdrive continues on TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Rod Black will join us from Scotiabank around 6:20. Raptors-Cavs season debut tonight. You can hear it on TSN Radio. Watch it on TSN. How many DeMar DeRozan references tonight during the broadcast?
Don't you just let it go? Or do you, like, are they going to double down on him? Like,
it's all about Kawhi, but I would think DeMar's going to come up at some point. Wouldn't you think? I could see our boy Jack going on a bit of a diatribe. I mean, everyone loved DeMar DeRozan. It's not like he left on a sour note. He didn't demand a trade. It wasn't like Vince or
anything.
Tonight's
about the new guy, though. You don't do it.
No?
No way.
You would be offended if they brought up DeMar?
I think my dad went nuts when Carolina was on a cup run, and one of the commentators was like, they got rid of the O'Neill money, and they brought in these other guys, and great. What a great move by the management. But that was a one-time deal.
Well, I could see that, right? Like, the DeRozan family may have a bit of a different approach if that comes up tonight.
I don't think they're going to do a spin, funeral tonight. They're not doing that.
It's not about a funeral. I'm just saying. It's a natural part of the narrative.
You think they're going to bring up his name a lot?
I think he's going to come up at some point.
No.
0.5 DeMar DeRozan references tonight during the TV broadcast.
They shouldn't do one.
So that's only one. That's saying one.
Well, you're saying you don't think it's going to happen.
I'm saying over. They'll talk about it.
Obviously, the guy's name's going to come up, but they're not going to. Every time something happens on the floor, oh, when DeMar had the ball there, when DeMar did this,
but
LeBron.
But for Toronto, he was in a way. I mean, he was the guy that they drafted and developed and wanted to be here and stuck around and had records and won games and series.
But the guys that are coming in to replace that, you think they're going to go back and they got friends, family watching the broadcast? They're going to be like, hey, what the hell's going on here?
I think his name will come up organically because they'll say, you know, DeMar would have been in this spot. This is their offense now with Kawhi. Kawhi wants to run the ball through this. Last year, they ran the ball through DeMar. Like, I think his name will just be mentioned. No.
You
but it's
stick
not in
your
a
head up a bull's, what is it?
Butcher's ass, isn't it?
If you don't know the movie Tommy Boy, think about how strange this sequence would sound. If you're in your car.
Yes.
You're like, Noodles just said butcher's ass on the radio.
Yeah,
like,
but
now we got to find the clip and play it for reference purposes.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? What?
What? What?
So you don't need to say, DeMar did this, DeMar did that.
I bet she's a part of the intro. It'll be something like, new era in Toronto. DeRozan is out. Leonard is in.
Yes.
And I bet you Rod is going to probably voice it.
Let's ask Rod.
We'll ask Rod. Yes. We will break the tension, and we'll get some sort of an answer from Rod Black at 6:20.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? What?